listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation. They are a political think tank. They address all kinds of issues, primarily economic, but Paul's in studio with me. Hi, Paul. How you doing today?
Doing well, Jim. Good to be here.
And all all the Gessings are healthy. You got the homeschooling thing going.
Yeah, we are still doing the homeschooling thing. So we're a semester in just about. Although, you know, when you're doing homeschool, you're kind of on your own schedule. But yeah, we do mirror a little bit of the traditional.
Now, you're the history teacher.
I am, yeah.
And do you involve your kids at all in some of these current affairs and things that are going on politically?
Well, we did study the Electoral College recently, talking about what it is, how it works, you know, because I think a lot of people are pretty, quite frankly, ignorant of the Electoral College, why it exists, and the benefits, quite frankly, of it, not just for New Mexico as a small state, but in general, how it makes the election process somewhat smoother, although this has certainly not been a smooth election. But, you know, just as a thought experiment, imagine if you're doing this same election where every single vote is going to be battled over in every area of the entire country. And that gets real challenging.
Well, I asked the question because, as you know, and you were able to greet him as well, we just got off the phone with Brian Cochran. He's an investment financial planner with John Moore Associates. And Brian has assured us that people need to stay in the markets, the financial markets. People were terrified, literally, prior to this election, back in early November, about what was going to happen in the financial markets. And all we've seen is steady climb, steady recovery since the market bottomed out in, I want to say it was at the end of February, maybe first week of March. It's been nothing but positive since. And that really is surprising to me, because one of the things we're going to talk about today is how a progressive Biden administration is not going to be particularly energy friendly to New Mexico.
Yeah, and he's not going to be energy friendly or free market friendly on a vast array of policies. And, you know, there's this constant point of discussion in politics about the relevance of the stock market and the overall economy that average people are feeling. Like, the stock market is definitely a forward-looking index. People think of, well, where will the market be in the not-too-distant future? And there is a great deal of optimism, certainly about vaccines and the general thrust of the economy, hopefully forward as we get people vaccinated and get life back to normal. If something goes sideways with one or more of the vaccines, that would obviously be a huge issue for the stock market. And, of course, the Senate race is down in Georgia. Two U.S. Senate races right now. If the Republicans were to win those races, they have a 50-48 majority. The Democrats win both of them. It's dead even with Kamala Harris as the tiebreaker. And then you have a lot, I think, more uncertainty, and that might impact the stock markets. Stock market investment expert by any stretch of the imagination, but yeah, I think there is some optimism. It's tough out there for average businesses, not just here in New Mexico, but it is challenging for folks across the country, especially small businesses. But, you know, one of the factors that you have to deal with is the stock market is not made up of small businesses by and large. The kind of mom and pop shops that are really being negatively impacted right now in New Mexico and around the country are not the ones who are traded publicly. Bigger businesses are, and you look at Amazon, Apple, you know, those big companies which make up so much of these indexes, they are doing very well right now. So I think we do have to balance these things out, you know, cheering for the stock market and the relevance of that versus the bottom line, the Main Street individual folks. Plus, New Mexico is way behind economically. I can say that having traveled out of state recently.
Well, and you also have some data about that. I want to start, though, with an in-depth discussion today about current events. And one of the things I want to mention to our listeners, if you want to know about current political activity in the state of New Mexico, please go to the Rio Grande Foundation, .org. Yeah, RioGrandeFoundation.org. Just a plethora of information. You have links to Errors of Enchantment, which is your blog.
Right.
Everything that we talk about today, Paul provides for us background information. So when we post this on abqconnect.online, you can actually go to articles and support information. And what I like about what you do, Paul, is everything that you talk about is really documented. And when you make suggestions how to solve it, you've also documented that and how that might be working from other states. It's really, I think, the way things should be done, just as we consider how to make our state, we want to get off the bottom of the good lists and get to the, and go to the bottom of the bad lists.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Yeah. We would love to rearrange where New Mexico is on so many of these bad lists. And we do have a lot of advantages. We all love the outdoor beauty, the weather, and a lot of the good aspects, the cuisine, and the culture, the Balloon Fiesta, all the events that happen around our state. And we definitely want to get back to some semblance of normalcy. But we also, longer term, need to be looking for ways to mitigate against the harm of additional public policy challenges, both locally and at the federal level, and make our state a beacon of economic prosperity, or at least not a black hole of economic despair relative to our more prosperous neighbors, Arizona, Utah, Colorado, Oklahoma, Texas, all the states that surround us do very well economically.
Paul, I don't have this on the list, and I just can't help myself, but listen to an interview last week with Danny Gonzalez, University of New Mexico football coach. And he made some real clear statements about being so thankful that the state of Nevada is providing a home for them. They have a hotel. They have kind of a bubble kind of situation, if you will. They're providing them a place to actually play. But he made some really clear statements about the fact that they're spending $70,000 a week keeping all the football team with food, renting rooms, you know, all of the personnel up there, the training staff and everybody that's up there. And he said, really, bottom line is we should be giving this business to a hotel in Albuquerque that most of the hotels are shut down. They are vacant. You could literally create a safer environment than they even have in Nevada. And they could be practicing and isolating and creating a bubble. And the students are going to school online anyway.
Yeah.
And what's funny is there's no response from anybody in the governor's office, and that baffles me.
Talk about 9 months of bafflement on my part. you look at our governor and the situation in this state when it comes to COVID-19. And I'll say it. So first and foremost, I was tested this morning for COVID-19. I do not have it. So that's good. And got the results very quickly. So that was welcome. But more importantly, you know, talking about traveling out of state. So we were in Scottsdale. We took a family trip. We're not going to let our kids be deprived. It was kind of related to a daughter's birthday. Scottsdale has a lot of great amenities. Obviously, nice weather at this time of year, not so much in July. But they have this thing called the Great Wolf Lodge, and it's a indoor hotel slash water park. And so we spent time in the water park with the kids, sliding down these slides. A lot of people. I mean, you could not tell from being in there, aside from a few people on the sidelines wearing masks. They said, don't wear masks in the pool. Obviously, you don't want to have a wet mask on your face while you're trying to swim around. Kids had an amazing time. Not only did we have access to this water park, which, you know, some of the same things that Cliffs has that were closed all year, Cliffs Amusement Park right here in Albuquerque, but I tweeted at one point, you know, because you know I can never stop completely, Jim. I've got to be a little bit on all the time. So I was literally standing in this foyer of this building, and there was a ropes course. So, you know, up in the ceiling, kids, you know, attached and swinging around doing things, a climbing wall, a bowling alley, a video arcade right next to the water park, and everything else that was at that facility. I may be missing one or two things. And it was all open, and people were respectful, reasonable about social distancing, but they were also going about living their lives. And that's what, you know, I know you're getting at there with Danny Gonzalez and the football coach, is, you know, we all want to be careful. We all want to be respectful and reasonable about the virus and its spread. And right now, obviously, we're in a terrible situation with the numbers. But the difference is that we're not having much success with this lockdown policy here in New Mexico. Other states are struggling as well. But at least when push comes to shove, we're able to respect individual rights and freedoms in these other states. They're much more so than we have in New Mexico. And I think a lot of the, as an aside, you know, and I know this is one thing we were going to talk about for sure, is, you know, a lot of people who have been critical, including myself, of the governor's responses to this virus, were kind of assuming that a silver lining might be that she wound up in Washington, D.C. Well, at this point, it looks like she is going to be staying put right here in New Mexico, and we're going to be dealing with her and her policies for better or for worse for the foreseeable future. And that is a pretty challenging proposition right there.
Paul, I want to qualify what we're going to talk about for the rest of the show, because I know that any governor, it could be a Republican governor, no matter what the decision is anybody makes or how they come to the decision, there's going to be people critical of it. So that's not really what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is Rio Grande Foundation talks about liberty, talks about the responsibility of and transparency of government. And that's the part that we're having problems with. We're having problems with the process. I talked with our representatives. I talked to our representatives here in Albuquerque, where this station is located. I talk with the representatives where I live in Corrales, New Mexico. I ask them very point blank, are you involved at all with a discussion about the Economic Recovery Council? Are you getting contacted by the governor's office? Are you asked for any input regarding any of these matters? They said, nope. We're finding out about it during the afternoon press conferences just like you are. And that's the problem I have. I want to give you a quote from November 11th. I had Carol White. She is the director and the CEO of the New Mexico Restaurant Association. And she says this about the city council, but she added some things about the lockdown. And maybe I'll address those first. She said that New Mexico is the most locked down state in terms of restaurants besides New Jersey in the country. At the time I interviewed her, November 11th, she said that if we did not expand the occupancy to 25% indoor dining to 50%, we may lose as many as 30% more restaurants. At that date, she said we'd already lost approximately 200 restaurants. 30% more could be as many as 500 more restaurants could be failing any minute. And she really had, a lot to say about that and the process. And the data coming out of other states from restaurants where there is no indication that people that going to restaurants are passing on COVID. Now, you know, maybe there's some people doing some illegal activities and having big parties and all of those things. That doesn't really have anything to do with what we're talking about. We're talking about sensible people want to protect other people, but we're killing the economy. Here's what Carol White had to say about the city council, who I guess this next Monday is going to be considering the mandatory paid sick leave bill. Here's what she had to say. Now is not the time. If you want to talk about this, let's talk about it sometime when we don't have 100,000 people on unemployment. How do you bring these people back when you have just given away their shifts to allow for sick leave? There are some ways. We're kind of mixing these two topics, but it all ties together with the difficulties of COVID and the policies that the governor of the state of New Mexico is putting forth. Restaurants are in dire shape, and this is just not the time.
No doubt about it. And I do think economic policy, well, first and foremost, government policies that close businesses or truly restrict their activities. You know, restaurants are technically open for 25% outdoor dining, which and carry out, which basically at this time of year in most parts of New Mexico outside of, say, Roswell or Las Cruces, and that's on a good day, it's going to be pretty cold for a lot of people to sit outside and dine. And so it might as well be back to where we were with just carry out in most parts of our state. And that's going to be a challenge for the foreseeable future. And then now what we're looking at, we're not looking at this as a 2-week thing. We're looking at this is a month, 2 month, 3 month, who knows when this situation will be resolved. So instead of piling new rules and regulations, new costs onto businesses, some of whom, many of whom have been shut down. I mentioned Cliffs Amusement Park, Hinkle Family Fun Center. There's numerous others that have been shut down since March, and trying to put new restrictions, new rules, new costs on them is absolutely ridiculous. So we've got a little bit of an alert. We're trying to get people to sign and fill out and send to their city councilors here in Albuquerque. It's at errorsofenchantment.com. That's our blog, as you mentioned. And folks can go there and send an email that, you know, we've got language already, but you can add some of your own, change it, whatever. It'll go to your city councilors. The meeting is Monday afternoon, and we really need the city council to be aware whether there's a future date and time for mandatory paid sick leave in this state and in this city. That's a different conversation. This is not the time, for sure. And the businesses, if you travel around this city, you know that things are not well. Yeah, even with all of the economic challenges that we face as a state long-term, relative poverty compared to our neighboring states, slow growth rates, all those kinds of things. But all of that has just been magnified, amplified, and we do you know, have an issue that potentially large numbers of small businesses will be shut down. And it's one of those things. We talked about the stock market and the big companies, the Amazons, the other major corporations. It's going to be the same deal for restaurants. All those, you know, enchilada places, the native New Mexican food, those are small businesses by and large. They're not major corporations. Even the chains locally are local chains. They are impacted as well. So, yeah, it's just not the time for Albuquerque City Council to do this. And we're going to find out what their inclinations are on Monday. We hope that they will not consider this at this time, or that they'll vote it down and just abandon the whole darn thing. That would be perfect.
Well, and I want, you know, our listeners to know, I mean, we're not trying to take a political stand necessarily. What we're doing is trying to be sensitive to the needs of what this community has. And I am just registering that our city council needs to do exactly what our governor's asking. They need to listen to their constituents. These people, Democrats and Republicans, I mean, half the businesses are owned by Democrats, half are owned by Republicans. They're all coming out and saying, look, this paid sick leave thing is just too much. Shutting down all of our businesses is just too much. So we've got to get things on the table and get businesses reopened. Do everything safely. You know, we need to honor God. We need to do all the things that he wants us to do responsibly. But we've got so much more to talk to you about, Paul. We never have enough time. I'm going to have to go to a 2-hour show and have to have you on more often. When we come back, we're going to talk about the recent special session of the New Mexico legislature. We're going to talk about Netflix. We're going to talk about the unemployment situation, which is just going to reinforce everything we've just said. And we're going to talk more about education and the lag in economic freedom that outside people and researchers are looking at New Mexico now going, yeah, New Mexico is way behind everybody. We'll be right back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
It's a Space Command Turbo Rocket! Gene the Marine action figure, yes! What? A burning rubber collector's edition drag racer?
We're supposed to be wrapping these new toys for children in need. Grow up.
The imagination of a child isn't a bad idea as you shop for a new toy to donate to the toy drive at any of the Calvary Church campuses, Monday through Friday from 8 to 5 or during weekend services. More info at calvarynm.church.
You're in a crisis when you don't know what to do.
That's Tony Evans, who says your past does not need to be your future. And his book, Your Comeback, is a gift from Star 88 and KNKT this month when you make a donation to help us meet our end-of-the-year budget. Just give a gift at star88.fm or knkt.com. Click under Donate, and you'll be helping our stations make the end-of-the-year budget.
What is the master key that can give you hope about a reversal in your circumstances? Simply stated, the master key for the reversal of consequences brought on by sin is developing a lifestyle of repentance.
Get your copy of Your Comeback now. Make a donation at star88.fm or knkt.com. Click under Donate to receive Tony Evans' book, Your Comeback.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for your next mortgage. Call them at 836-5700 or reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Ben Lucero, longtime sponsor of the programming here on KNKT and ABQ Connect. We appreciate him very much. I'm in studio with Paul Gessing, president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Paul, I think we started off with a bang. We got a little sports in. We talked a little bit about the governor, but we're going to have to play off the governor's looking like she's not going to become a member of Biden's cabinet. But she did get some assignment, which is to try to coordinate and recruit Democrat governors for the country.
That's right. So I don't know if that was the reason behind it. These are conversations that happen out of the public eye. We may never know the real story. The assumption was always that she was at the top of the list. By that, I mean our governor at Health and Human Services in Washington, carrying out the Biden administration's health care policies. I don't know if that was offered to her, if she turned it down, what happened, or if there's still another position that may come available. I've also heard a lot of New Mexico names up for Department of the Interior, which is kind of the federal estate internal to the country. Federal lands is a big issue here in New Mexico, and it translates into the talking about the energy issue, because so much of our energy is in New Mexico is on federal lands. And Biden has said he wants to ban fracking on those federal lands. He had some waffling back and forth on fracking overall around the country, but definitely if the Biden administration wants to put the kibosh on fracking on federal lands, they can have a big impact, and that'll hugely impact New Mexico. So who runs Interior is a huge part of that. Deb Haaland's name has been mentioned, now soon to be the second term congresswoman here from Albuquerque. Of course, Native American. The Biden administration is working very hard to have diverse voices, and she would be, I think, probably the first Native American, certainly Native American woman to be in that role. And so that would be interesting. Tom Udall's name has been mentioned for that role as well. And I know, I think Michelle Lujan Grisham was even mentioned. So I don't know that Lujan Grisham's expertise, perceived or real, is in the interior land management area. I think HHS, Health and Human Services, is more of her bailiwick if she was to get that. And they haven't named anybody yet, but it just, the media reports are saying that it's unlikely at this point. So we'll see. There's still a lot of time to go before a presumptive Biden administration takes over. And you know, some of these cabinet officials aren't named until well after Inauguration Day. It's a very big push for them, as it is for every administration, to get all their people in place.
Paul, if Congresswoman Haaland were to take a position in the Biden administration, would there have to be a special election for her?
I would assume there would be, yeah. And, I thought Michelle Garcia Holmes on the Republican side ran a fantastic race. She fits a lot of aspects of this district. And, I don't know the timing of that. And, it's a few steps into the future, but there could be that kind of situation. Martin Heinrich's another one who's a potential, very passionate outdoorsman, somebody who really cares about federal lands. Udall has left, so that would be an easy one. They wouldn't have to change any chairs. Heinrich, of course, is a sitting U.S. senator from New Mexico, so there'd be that. And same thing with Holland. So we shall see. I know the process is continuing up there in Washington, but from our perspective, the concern is if they were to ban fracking on federal lands here in New Mexico, that would be a very problematic issue. And Deb Holland has also mentioned support for that kind of policy. So aside from everything else we've already talked about with New Mexico's economy, that kind of big, bold move could be really detrimental to the state.
Paul, are our citizens here in New Mexico just not aware of the math? Do they not realize that 40% of our economy is driven by the oil and gas industry in the state?
I think there is a function of basic ignorance, and that is partially a geographical situation. Here in Albuquerque, you can drive a very long way and not see any oil and gas wells, any direct impact. You probably don't know anybody directly who is involved in the industry. It's ironic because, you know, the environmental movement will say, oil and gas, it's bad. It negatively impacts the people involved and the regions involved and all these things to make it sound like the people who are involved in these industries are just, sad and can't stand those industries. Well, then you go down to Roswell or Hobbs or Carlsbad and you talk to people who are involved or whose businesses rely on that industry. Virtually all of them do. And they're huge supporters. They're pro oil and gas. They want to, do everything that they can to keep those businesses going. It's the people who don't have that obvious impact. I mean, your clothes probably have oil and gas components in them. You drove here, the tires you drove on, the products you buy, the speakers, the whole setup in here. All of this is hugely reliant on petroleum and oil and gas. But the average person in Albuquerque doesn't see it, and they don't see the positive impact of that on their bottom lines, the things that it funds here in the state of New Mexico.
So we had a special session of the New Mexico legislature here, and tell us about what happened during that special session.
Oh, boy. Well, the second special session of 2020, which by itself is a hugely unique situation. It was the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving, which another very unique deal. Now, what really happened is that they got together, well, to the extent that they can, on Zoom, in the roundhouse, in their offices, wherever they are, and had a series of bills to discuss what to do with some federal stimulus money from the CARES Act that needed to be distributed. Now, back earlier in the year, the governor kind of took it upon herself and did this herself and got some pushback, not just from Republicans, but from some Democrats as well, saying that's the legislature's prerogative. You know, when federal money comes to the state, you have to distribute it through the legislative process. So the governor decided this time that she would bring the legislature to the table, one-day session, and they went ahead and did that. So, you know, all these press releases, all this discussion about new stimulus money, that is not really coming from the state. That is coming through the federal government. So that's one thing. The other was there was some controversy. There was a bill that the Republicans, the Representative Rebecca Dow from the TRC area, she had introduced something to divert money to specifically first responder types who are making, $15 or less an hour. That was not in the plans of the speaker, Brian Egolf. And so there was a very tense moment on the House floor. I actually posted the footage of that and blogged about it at Heirs of Enchantment. Again, you can look at that. It's a 2-minute video. It's, you see Representative Jason Harper from Rio Rancho, going, very directly and talking to the Speaker of the House, so Republican versus a Democrat there. But overall, that no Rio Grande Foundation concern policies were implemented or discussed in that particular session. It was just taking this money from Washington and spending it in different ways.
I do want to ask you, because I don't know the answer to this, and I should. This is what's so embarrassing. I didn't even know before I took this job half of the stuff that you've taught me about what's going on in New Mexico politics.
That's what we're here for.
When do the elected officials, state representatives, take office officially?
January 1st.
Okay.
And, you know, in years past, and who knows what it's going to be like this year, but certainly the governor has in the past given a big, I forget if it's on the plaza. I've never been because it's always on New Year's Day. And I'm not saying, you know, with kids and everything at home that we're having the most wild New Year's celebrations, but running up to see a ceremony up in Santa Fe, typically outdoors in January in Santa Fe, it's pretty chilly out there. So all of those folks take office, assuming, you know, everything goes according to plan right there on January 1st. But there are a few Democrat senators in the legislature who recently resigned, and nothing's going to happen. I presume that all of the special sessions are blessedly behind us for 2020. But there were a couple folks that resigned. I suspect they'll just wait and fill those when the replacement officials that got elected go ahead and are sworn in. But January 1.
January 1. So the special session was full of incumbent representatives
exactly.
that have been there for a while. And they know the score. They have experience. They knew what was going to go on. And I got to tell you, I'm really, really continue to be concerned about how modern politicians don't model the sacrifice and the non-self-serving approach that our forefathers took. And so when we come back, Paul, I'm going to ask you a little bit about some things, some talk about redistricting the districts around New Mexico to favor one party in particular. And then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about an article I guess you have in the Heirs of Enchantment called The Next Netflix Deal Would Make Billy the Kid Blush. We'll be back with Paul Gessing. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten Son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel. And never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
Hi, this is Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In.
You and Jack are supposed to be on vacation with your family.
Our shuttle fell into this wormhole.
The new movie, The Christmas Chronicles 2, now streaming on Netflix, offers another adventure with Santa Claus and a teen girl named Kate. Kate's frustrated with her mother, and her Christmas wish is to run away from it all. Kate gets her wish, and more. She and her soon-to-be stepbrother, Jack, play an unwitting role in the schemes of an evil elf named Belsnickel. Chaos commences, and it's up to Kate, Jack, and Santa to save the day again. This rollicking sequel includes some mild peril and a few intense scenes, but it also emphasizes family, friendship, courage, and hope. So we're giving The Christmas Chronicles 2 a 4 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Adam Holtz for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
I'm Rob Snead, General Manager at Power Ford. We do things differently over here on the affordable side of Albuquerque. We give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part, every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and complimentary maintenance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Paul Gessing, Rio Grande Foundation in studio. Paul, tell us about the Rio Grande Foundation.
Yeah, Rio Grande Foundation is New Mexico's state public policy think tank. We approach the issues from a free market, conservative, individual liberty approach, not inherently religious, but we, I think, fit in many ways. Obviously, the goals and aspirations of a lot of folks here at Calvary, and we're just trying to improve the prosperity and overall living conditions of New Mexicans, and we haven't talked too much about education. That's one of the big issues we work on, but certainly getting New Mexico's economy in a more prosperous way would be a huge part of what we're trying to do here.
Well, let's talk about education a little bit since you brought it up. Right now, most of the Albuquerque public schools and most school districts around the state are not in full session. They're doing remote learning. I did want to tell you, which you may not have heard this, but I had Terry Heise, who is the head of school at Hope Christian School, on here a couple days ago. He was on with his director of maintenance, and they were talking about all their best practices and what they've done. They've had a couple of students that have had COVID, but they've not transmitted it to anyone else. They followed all these procedures. They're doing regular testing. They're taking temperatures. They're doing all really kinds of cool things. But here was the thing that I asked Terry Heise at the end. I said, would you be willing to, if the governor was interested in listening to you, would you share what you've done and how you've done it and how it's working? And he said that he would. He did make one point that I thought was particularly interesting to our Christian audience, and that is there are hundreds, even thousands of people praying for that school to be safe. And he believes those prayers have been very effective. And I just have to think, Paul, that we need Christians around the state to be praying for all of our schools because we just need our kids to be back in school, don't we?
Well, praying for the schools is fine. I think praying for the children and the teachers and the people making decisions to make the right decisions is even more critical because, the schools that are open, and it's increasingly becoming, even Fauci, who has flip-flopped, I hate to say it, Fauci, the health director nationally, who's kind of been the guide star for so many on these issues, he has very strongly recently endorsed the idea of kids going back to school. And schools that have been open, they've had some occasionally sick children or something, but they haven't been those super spreader events that you hear stories about. And you hear much more about the specifics of the challenges faced by the families and the students themselves, the lack of learning that's happening, the very real issues socially that are happening, especially with kids who have lost athletics as well as academics in terms, not being able to go to school in person has presented obstacles for them. So it's something that we are truly hopeful that, well, there's a court case going through federal court relating to New Mexico that hopefully will be decided in a favorable manner that'll get kids back in the schools soon. Rio Grande Foundation is not directly involved in it, but some friendly attorneys are. And it would be great if the governor made the case and pushed forward rather than kind of holding back on kids going back into school and getting some sense of normalcy.
Well, I think not just the sense of normalcy, but parents are just really stressed out. Apparently, people that are normally, working, two parents working, are really hurting financially because one of them has to stay home, one of them has to do, and you're fortunate in that you've been able to do that with your children, do some work at home. And earlier you said something about, you know me, I can't just put it down. Well, I do have to tease you, Paul, because you were in Yellowstone National Park walking down a trail texting or posting things to Errors of Enchantment. So I have to laugh at you because I couldn't even walk down a trail looking at my phone, much less posting something as intricately as you were posting. So I get a kick out of all the things.
Well, I also don't want to oversell it here. I'm sure it was some part of the situation in Yellowstone that wasn't, I wasn't letting work distract from the beauty and the uniqueness of Yellowstone. Yellowstone was really amazing, and I definitely tried to embrace it wholly as a person, not let my work distract me. But there was a, let's put it this way, there was a TV interview that my wife and kids were all eating breakfast during, and I was outside in a rainstorm that then I had to go into the car and do a one of the, not Zoom, Skype call with a local TV station to talk about an issue going on. So, yeah, it's something that we try to always be doing something to push the ball forward here for liberty in New Mexico. But, yeah, I definitely enjoy my vacations when I get them. And, you know, sometimes you got to balance that out in those times.
I want to mention to our listeners one more time, RioGrandeFoundation.org is the name of your website. You are a nonprofit organization. You can ask people. We want to ask people to support you. But I want to tell people to take advantage of you guys as a resource. There's just a ton of information. We're going to have a chance to talk about the upcoming legislative session probably somewhere around the first week of January. And we hope that that all is an in-person session, but it may not. I'm dying to ask you about this. What do you mean the Netflix deal would make Billy the Kid blush?
Well, of course, we know Billy the Kid was a famous cattle rustler. And you know, whether he was a good guy or a bad guy, and I'm not going to go into historical aspects of Billy the Kid, he definitely was known as kind of outside the law here in New Mexico. And we recently, as a state and also city, signed an agreement with the Netflix company that makes all kinds of movies. And I'm not going to get into the positive and pluses and minuses of Netflix and their agenda and what they do. But I am going to talk about the nuts and bolts and the finance of this whole thing in the last few minutes here. First and foremost, New Mexico's film industry gets as a baseline 25% of all their taxable expenses returned to them in a refundable, what they call a tax credit. It's really just a credit, and it's a credit for money spent, not taxes paid. So when you're talking, we spend, and they pledge to spend $1 billion over 10 years, that means they could conceivably get, well, $250,000 returned by the taxpayers. Actually, it's more than that because they have signed a 10-year lease, part of that whole equation. So they could get $300,000 or $300 million returned from the taxpayers. So this is money returned. This is not a, we're exempted from the gross receipts tax or the personal income tax or some other tax. This is checks written out of the Treasury to Hollywood filmmakers. And the media have done a terrible job of explaining this and being honest with it. The film industry has a reason not to be. The media should be much more of a watchdog on this issue. So that's right there, something that's unprecedented, not given to any other business, not even close. Then you have something called LEDA, Local Economic Development Account, I think it is, or something, LEDA. It's a state and local program that, it's called the closing fund. It provides money. It's basically, hey, you need something. We will, again, taxpayers will step up and pay money for this. $17 million from the state, $7 million from the city of Albuquerque. So another $24 million right there paid to Netflix out of the treasury of the city and the state. But wait, there's more. And now we're talking something called IRB, Industrial Revenue Bond. Now, it's kind of a complicated accounting situation, but what an IRB does, and a lot of businesses get them, Intel got one, it really results in the biggest thing being an exemption on their property taxes, or to some level. It's still to be negotiated in the case of Netflix, but conceivably, they could pay zero property taxes on their facility for 20 years. Thanks to this IRB. It basically involves a shell game where you have a property and you put it under government control and government doesn't pay property taxes on it as they don't on your city golf courses, municipal buildings, et cetera. So it is staggering And that's why I allude to Billy the Kid, you know, someone who was a bit of a thief above the law. Netflix is well within the law, but it's really unfortunate that this is what passes for economic development in the state of New Mexico. It is just outrageous how you give one business, one industry, these kinds of benefits.
Well, and Paul, I guess for lack of a better term, I'm thinking about a car dealer selling a brand new car. Let's say they pay $50,000 for that car and they normally sell it for $55,000 or $56,000. But they want to sell a lot of cars, so they sell it for $40,000. So they're losing not only the profit they would have made, but $10,000 of their cost. That sounds like what the state's doing.
Yeah, in many ways, and we talked about oil and gas. You know, oil and gas provides a lot of money for the state, 40% of the budget. I think it's going to be a little bit less moving forward, but who knows, because of the economy and so much chaos right now. But it's kind of where they're taking oil and gas money to fuel this film industry. And it doesn't make any sense. We, the taxpayers, are ultimately the ones who are losing out and not getting the bang for our bucks that we should be getting. It's going to Hollywood, and that is not just not progressive. It is the very antithesis of progressive. So I know we got to go, but yeah, another article at heirsofenchantment.com. Folks can read and really see the numbers. It is amazing.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.